Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for that perfect love that drowns our fears. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Jesus, you are wonderful tonight. We bless you and we honor you. You have delivered us. We're no longer under bondage to fear in any way. We give you all the praise and glory. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you all. Worship team, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I texted Daniel today and I said, I wanted to sing that last song because of that line, my fears were drowned in your perfect love. I want to talk to you tonight about the love of God for you, having faith in the love of God, and how that love does away with any reason to have fear in our lives. Amen? You know, I don't care how long that you have been a Christian. I mean, you can be a Christian for, you know, more years than I've been alive. And I'm 56 years old, and you can be a Christian longer than that. You know, I thank God that I'm coming up here in July, last of June. It'll be 37 years since I was born again and filled with the Spirit of God. And I just feel like I'm just getting started in the things of God. But even after all those years, you know, of preaching the Word of God, and teaching God's Word and being in the ministry and studying God's Word, the devil still wants to try to get us to be afraid. That's his weapon against us, in fact. If he can keep us in fear, he'll keep us from acting on what we have and keep us from our freedom. All right? Fear is bondage. That song says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Fear wants to put us in bondage. In fact, you know, I think about in Isaiah chapter 54, we won't turn over there, but the prophet said, he said, in righteousness you'll be established. Then he says, and you'll be far from oppression, for you will not fear. Amen. See, in righteousness, that's talking about us today. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. He's given us right standing, not through what we have done, but through what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. If you haven't, if you go online or you listen to podcasts, get a hold of that sermon from this morning that Jim Andrews preached over at Rhema Bible Church in Broken Arrow. An outstanding sermon on the finished work of Christ, but how that we're the righteous of God. But he said you'd be far from oppression because you won't have any fear. When we know we're right with God, see, that does away with needing to have fear. We'll look at that in just a moment. But another thing, another verse I'm thinking about is Acts 10:38. And Peter preaching there at the household of Cornelius. And he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Well, if we'd be far from oppression because we won't fear, that tells me then that the devil's going to use fear to try to bring oppression in our life. One way, through sickness and disease. Amen? You know, there's certain probably diagnoses that you could hear if you went to the doctor and they gave you that diagnosis. It could cause fear to try to rise up in you. But we're going to talk about that tonight. Two main things and two areas I want us to look tonight. Number one, is we're free from the fear of death. For the Christian, there's no reason to fear death. All right? Now, that doesn't mean, well, we're not afraid of death, so let's all go out and run and play in Northwest Express. No, we're not going to go out and play in the road, all right, trying to get there early. We want to live a long life, right, live a satisfied life, and finish the work that God's sent us here to do, left us here to do. But the second fear is the one that I think trips up a lot, is the fear of death. And the second one is the fear that somehow God's still going to punish us. Amen? So we want to look at these things from the Word of God. So if you would you open up to 1 John chapter 4, please? 1 John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And I've been this term at Rhema, I've been teaching a class in our second year group to our second year students called Minister's Heart. And we spent the first half of that class, I mean four full weeks here, talking about that God, and this subject of God loves us and the unconditional love of God, and what that, because if we're going to minister to others with the heart of God, and that's the minister's heart, is to minister to others the way, if Jesus was here, what would he do for them? Well, he left us here to do that. If we're going to do it, we have to know how much God loves us. I can't love you if I don't know God loves me. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And so I've got to know what God says about me. Now here in verse 16, 1 John 4:16, and I'm going to read from the King James Bible, and I might take out a few King James words, okay? If I do that, you'll understand, please. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Now look at that statement. We have known and believed. I like to take that and make it personal to myself. I have known and believed the love that God has to me. Well, for some of us, that might be calling things that be not as though they were. That might be a faith confession. Now, how many of you remember when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You remember you experienced that love. I mean, you sensed something happened. I know for me, it's been, like I said, almost 37 years ago, be this summer. Something happened, and I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I knew God loved me. He says there, I have known and believed. The believe there is not just one time I believed. It's I believe it, and I keep on believing it, that God loves me. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein, or there, in this love, is our love made perfect. Now, the word perfect there, don't let that throw you off. It means fully mature or complete. Now, in relationship to God, though, we will say this, God's love is perfect. There's no flaw in it. There's no flaws in God. He is perfect. Another word for perfect here could be absolute. His love is absolute. There's no hatred in God, right? He is love. Other than, you know, the Bible, when it comes to people, now he says he hates evil. He hates pride. He hates those things, but he doesn't hate people. The only reason God hates those things is because those things separate us from him, right? He doesn't hate people at all. God hates sin, but he loves the people who are doing it, all right? Now, I will say this. When we're talking about the love of God, he's not giving us the permission to live any way we want just because he loves us. Because his love's not based upon our actions. We'll see that also tonight as the Lord helps us. But let's read on here. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, look at verse 18. There is no fear in love. Tell your neighbor, no fear. All right? That's an absolute lack of fear. He says, perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. And that, you know, if you think of torment, God's not tormenting anyone. Who's the tormentor? The devil. So see here again, we know where fear comes from. It doesn't come from God. We'll look at a verse that's familiar and we'll absolutely prove it doesn't come from God. But here he says that fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, you haven't. If you're in fear, you're not completely convinced without a doubt that God loves you. And we love him because he first loved us. Now, I want to read this verse to you for us tonight out of the Living Bible. How many of you remember that old Living Bible? Remember the green, spongy one, kind of, that the old Living Bible? Here's verse 18 out of that Bible. 1 John 4:18 says, we need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. I love that. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us, and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. Now you think about it. You know, you've heard, and you might have heard growing up, you know, God's going to get you for that. And if you don't do this, God's going to bring judgment and wrath upon you. And God's, and there is that side, but that's coming at the end of the age when God says all things are complete, that any of that judgment or wrath poured out. And this time we're in, God put all of that on Jesus for us. Now you think about it. God would be unjust for Jesus to have borne all that for us and then for him to also do it to us. You see, God's not that way. Again, he's perfect. And his love is perfect. Now remember, for John 3:16, we quote it, "For God so loved the world." How did he love us? Perfectly. That he gave his only begotten son. Jesus said, "I've come to destroy the works of the enemy." Well, what work was that? I'm telling you, it's fear. Fear. That's what God, that's what the devil used in the garden against the woman and the man. He told him, he said, he said, "Oh, God won't do anything to you. He just doesn't want you to know good and evil. Because he knows if you know that, you'll be just like him." See, fear that I'm not going to know something. Fear that I won't be like God. Fear that God's holding out on me. And it caused them to enter into sin. Amen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2. Now this, like I said, I spent 4 weeks on this, and we're going to spend 30 minutes tonight, okay? So you understand, it's just Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. This is just introduction tonight, praise the Lord. But, you know, this is a lifelong thing. God loves me. You know, we talked at the little children, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Well, just, you know, stay a little one. Just because you got, I don't call it growing old, I call it gaining more experience. Just because you've gained more experience in life doesn't mean Jesus stopped loving us, right? Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Now he's talking about Jesus there. Did Jesus die on our behalf? Yes. So therefore he did what? He destroyed him that had the power of death, that was the devil. And verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Fear of death. There's that fear I want to talk about. The fear of death. Okay? The fear of death. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us it says there is no reason to fear. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your power? The sting of death is sin. Well, Jesus dealt with our sin. Amen? Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I've got a decision to make. I've got two things, whether to stay and be with you, which is better for you. But if I depart, it's far better for me. So there's no reason for us to be afraid of dying as a Christian. Amen? Because what we're going to is far better than what we have now. All right? Now, if you go, we're going to miss you. And if you have a loved one that's gone, you know, you miss them, but you can't be sad for them. Okay? The Bible says we don't sorrow as the world sorrows. Because we know someday Jesus is coming back. And if we're still alive on the earth, he's bringing them with him. We're going to meet them in the air. We're all going to be together. Remember when David's son died, what did he say? He said, "He can't come to me, but I am going to go to him." Okay? And so there's no reason for us to have that fear, because Jesus, because God loved us, has defeated the devil and has delivered us from the fear of death. The fear of death. And he says that fear of death, all their lifetime, caused people to be in bondage. I call the fear of death the granddaddy of fear, if you will. Seems like every other little fear traces back to that. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, now there's good fear." No, there's a difference now. There's no such thing as good fear when it comes from the devil. All right? What you're talking about is respect. We have to teach our children, you have to respect that vehicle coming down the road. It's bigger than you. It will hurt you. You have to have respect to it. You don't go out there in the road in front of it. Right? You have to have respect for the fire. It will burn you. It hurts you. No, we don't teach them to be afraid of it. We teach them to respect it. And there's a big difference. That's why we're not afraid of God. We respect God. We reverence God. Okay, and I'm not comparing God to the car or the fire, but you understand. There's a difference. When we're talking in relationship to God, even the fear of the Lord, it's not being afraid of God. Okay? Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, we're not looking at new scriptures tonight, I don't think, but I want to just talk about this tonight. I think it is entirely possible for the child of God to live life without fear. Amen? I mean, he talks about it there. Well, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7 says, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So notice that fear didn't come from God, did it? Now, spirit there, it could be a spirit. It could be an evil spirit. Spirit can also mean, in the word that's used, attitude. Here's the point. The point I want to make tonight without dissecting all that is, notice fear didn't come from God. God doesn't use fear. Fear is the wrong motivator. Love is the greatest motivator. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, "The love of Christ compels me. It motivates me." See, fear is not a good motivator. How many of you played athletics or sports growing up? Did you ever have a coach that tried to use fear to motivate? Doesn't work, does it? It's short-lived. That won't work. You can't motivate someone out of fear. If you do, you got to keep putting them under fear. Right? That doesn't work. People won't respond to that. Because why? There's something about it we know is wrong. Because God, it's not right from God's standpoint. All right? Now, look over at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Let's look and see what Jesus said here as he was about ready to go to his trial and passion and then die for us. Thank God he rose again. Aren't you glad? And he's alive today. But this is some word. These are some things that he said. Some have called this the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He's praying to the Father here in John 17. Let's pick up in verse 20. John 17, 20 says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So in one way or another, all of us who are believers today have believed on Jesus through the words of these that were standing there that day he's praying for. So Jesus is praying for you. How many of you believe Jesus gets answers to his prayers? All right. So here's something we ought to look at and say, okay, this is true about me right now because Jesus prayed it for me. You know, people say, well, if I could have just been there when Jesus, well, you were there because he prayed for you by including us in that. All those which believe, how are we there? Through faith, through our beliefs. All right. Let's look what he said. He says, this is what he prays. Verse 21, "That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." Now, I do find it interesting there in verse 21 that the world believing in Jesus is related to how we are one with one another. Now, you can see the devil's plan. What has he done to us Christians? Well, he's divided us up over every little thing you can imagine to make us powerless. If we could ever get together, and I believe in these last days before Jesus comes back, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5, boy, Pastor preached it up big time at Winter Bible. He's coming back for a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Well, I think some of those spots and wrinkles aren't some of the obvious things we think about. I think a lot of them is strife, discord, backbiting, some of those things, all right? We're not going to have that in the body. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that your elbow's not in an argument with your thumb? Doesn't work, will it? No, we need to work together. Praise the Lord. All right. He says that the world may believe you sent me. Verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Now, did he just say what I think he just said? He prayed that you and I would know, and that the whole world would know, that he loves them. For God so loved the world, remember? Well, that includes us here too, and he's praying for us. God loves you. God loves me as he loves Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, my mind just goes, that's more than I can think about. I can reach out here and grab a hold of it. But he says that you have loved them as you have loved me. In other words, You think about Jesus. This is the Son of God. Left his position in heaven to be born in this earth. We read in Hebrews 2:14, he became a man like us, all right? And was subject to everything just like we are. It's obvious he was because he died. Remember? I mean, he was able to die. He rose again, thank God. But his body, I mean, he had to grow up like us. He had to get teeth. I mean, sometimes you don't let Jesus be a real person, but he had to get teeth. He teethed, okay? I don't know what Mary put her nostrils on, but something, you know, he had to get teeth. He had to grow up. He probably fell down running with his friend, skinned his knee at some time. We don't know that, but I can, you know, if he's going to be real like me, then yeah. All right. He grew up, learned the trade of his father, was a carpenter. Okay. At 12 years old, he was so wise in the scriptures that he astonished the teachers of the law there in Jerusalem. But his parents said, didn't you know I must be about my father's business? But from that point on until he went to see John in the Jordan River, the Bible says he was subject to them. He obeyed his parents. Just like every other child that needs to obey their parents, right? He grew up like a, but he never ever, he said, I always do those things that please the Father. When he came up out of that water in the Jordan River, what did God say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this Son who is getting ready to go and die for us, take our sin and our sickness and disease upon his back and die on our behalf, but rise again the third day. Before he does that, he said, I want them to know, Father, that you love them just as you love me. So here's what, let me say it to you plain. God loves you as much as he does Jesus and in the same way. It's incredible. Now, do we ever see Jesus ever exhibit any fear in anything? I mean, this dude walked on water. He stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus and said, Father, I thank you. You've already heard me. Lazarus, come forth. He said, roll away the stone. And they said, I love that. By this time, Lord, he stinketh. That's a great King James word there. Didn't matter to him. Never fear. You don't seem afraid of anything. All right, let's read on here then. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now wait a minute here. Show them that you've loved them as you've loved me. You loved me before the foundation of the world. So it's obvious then, it becomes obvious then, that God has made a decision before he ever formed the world to love you. And so there's nothing that you can do then that's going to change. He's made a decision before you had a chance to do anything. So it's not based on what you do. God's love is not based on your actions. It's based on his decision. He does not need your permission to love you. Now, he does need your permission to be active in your life. That's why we have to call on the name of the Lord. That's why we have to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, salvation is offered. We have to receive that. But the love of God is there already. He's made a decision. So he said, I want them to know that you've loved them just as you love me, and you loved me before the foundation of the world. Father, I want them to be with me so they can behold the glory that I had with you before I came to this earth. My. I mean, and then he said in 1 John 4, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Really? I know a whole lot of Christians that don't have any idea about what we just talked about. But we need to. We need to know that glory to God. You need to know that every day. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I know you, and these have known that you sent me. Then he went on, verse 26, and I want the love that you love them with to be in them. Glory to God. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8, and let's wind this up for tonight. I want to challenge you to get in the Word of God and to see these places that talk about God's love for you. And realize and say, that's me. I'm someone whom God loves. I am God's beloved child. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us he's made us accepted in the beloved. Glory to God. We're adopted into his family. Why do you adopt it? Because you love someone. And think about this. He loved us even when we're his enemies. Here in Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us? See, that's dealing with that fear issue again. We don't have to be afraid. If God's on our side, who could be against us? In these last few years here in America, the politics, the way things have gone, you know, some people happy, some people sad. But, you know, I kind of wonder at Christians sometimes, have you read your Bible? Have you read the end? We win. Okay. You know, some of them getting all upset about this and all upset about that. And I understand we need to stand up for righteousness. Yes, absolutely. And don't, you know, when other people say wrong is right, we need to say no, right is right. Okay? No, it's truth is truth. There is no, and there are absolute truths from the Word of God. But then again, we shouldn't be so. But the Bible said in the last days these things were going to happen. All right? And so we ought to just have something about us. It says, that's all right. God's on my side. Nobody can be against me. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Remember, he's on your side, right? I added that part. That's not in there. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Listen, there's only been one person that's ever lived on this earth that could point their finger at you and say, you don't measure up, you're a sinner. And that's the one righteous man that ever lived, Jesus Christ. He never sinned. And the Bible says he didn't do that. He chose to die for you and bear that sin that he could condemn you with. He took that condemnation for us and for you. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died for us. He's the only one that could ever condemn us, and he didn't. He loved us. That's why the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation, back in the first verse of this chapter, to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? No condemnation. If you're under condemnation, that didn't come from God. And on the other hand, let's think of this. If I'm putting condemnation on somebody, I'm not acting on behalf of God. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin, but anything that's convicting power of the Holy Spirit always is redemptive in nature. It's restoring us back to what we should be. Okay? Now, he goes on here to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And if nothing that comes against me, nothing that happens in the world can separate me from the love of God, then there's no reason for me to be afraid. Amen? Now again, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. There's situations that God will have us avoid, all right? But then again, I'm not avoiding it because I'm afraid. I'm avoiding it because I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I mean, I've been in situations, traveled all over the world, been in situations, you know, and there was just something said, don't go down. So we're not going there. Other times I've been free. I've walked around cities all over the world and just had no fear whatsoever. Know everything's all right. Don't have a check, nothing on the inside from God, and just having no reason to fear. I got authority. Amen. I've got the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. No fear, because I know God's with me. If God's for me, who can be against me? Thank God he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of death. And we don't have to be afraid that God is looking to punish us. He's already put our punishment on Jesus. Amen? So for the Christian, listen. If you're dealing with fear, if there's thoughts haunting you, you got things coming against you, you need to rise up and just say, no, you don't, devil, because that's where it's coming from. I will not fear. God loves me perfectly, and right now, fear, I cast you out through that love. Just speak to it. Tell that fear it has to go. Quote these scriptures to, you know, the devil doesn't hang around long when you start quoting him scriptures. He doesn't like that. Sometimes I've even said, Mr. Devil, just in case you can't read, Let me read you what the Bible says. And I find out by the time I've turned there in my Bible, you know, and I like to get the Bible out when I do it, I'll turn there. By the time I get to about the first word, and I know and believe the love that God has for me, I'm looking around, that devil's gone. He don't want to hear the word of God. Why? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's running him off. Well, part of that weapon that we have is knowing that God loves you perfectly. All right? You see, we can all make improvements in our life. We can all, but that has nothing to do with God's love. That has nothing to do with God's love. That's called growing up spiritually, you know. But that has nothing to do with God loving you. All right. Now, God's love is not His stamp of approval on my lifestyle. Okay, but it is His stamp of approval that He accepts me. When you know God loves you, then you're free to live for Him. Did you notice 2 Timothy 1:6 said? He said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir it up. I found this out. The only thing that's keeping people from doing what God called them to do is fear. It's fear. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid at all of anything. Amen? If you're not afraid of the granddaddy of all things, death, then why be afraid of anything? And we don't have to be afraid of God because He loves us perfectly. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. Father, we give You all praise and all glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we're free from fear tonight, Lord. We're free because You love us perfectly. You love each and every person in this room. Father, we thank You and we glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Father, Your love cast out the fear of any disease, any sickness. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. It cast out any fear of death. It cast out any fear of what others might do to us. We're no longer, Father God, slaves to our fear, to those fears. They're not ours anyway. They're of the devil. Father, I thank You. Father, I thank You for that we're free from tormenting in our mind. We're free from the thoughts that I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to get dementia. I'm going to get Alzheimer's. I'm going to get that. I'm going to not know. We're free from that. Thank You, Father God, for giving us a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. You've given us power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. We're going to have it till the day we leave this earth, that sound mind. Father, we thank You and we praise You. We give You honor in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Just lift your hands up right now before the Lord. He loves you so much. If you have a need of any kind, just tell Him, Lord, I thank You. You know what that need is, Lord. I thank You. I receive right now from Your love my need met. Father, I thank You right now. You're meeting needs all over this congregation. Strengthen our bodies. Finances for those that need it. Favor on their job. Promotions. Overtime, different things that cause them to be blessed. Plus, Father God, You're pressing down, shaking together, and causing to come back running over that which was sown in the name of Jesus. Father, we give You praise. Father, I thank You for giving us ideas and even ways to do our job better and put us in positions, Father God. Hallelujah, because You love us. Father, we love You because You first loved us. And we embrace You in that, Father. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. You know, if you want someone to pray with you further, Glenn and Heather, why don't you come up over here. Come on up here and talk with them tonight. You want someone to pray with you further about something, they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Because how many of you know the Word of God is what gets results in our life? Isn't that true? Amen.